You're listening to the teaching ministry of Houston's First Baptist Church, a relevant biblical community. For more information, visit houstonsfirst.org.
Unstoppable gospel. I love that phrase. It's a great phrase, not just because it's the name of my book, but it's a great phrase regardless. It's awesome to think about it, that we are a part of something that is unstoppable, that God is on the move. He's doing so many great things. And so we're going to be in Isaiah chapter 55. If you got your Bibles, Siena campus, Cypress, downtown, Loop, Espanol, all the above, everybody watching on the web, the whole deal. Grab your Bibles, turn to Isaiah 55. And then also you've got in your weekly guide when you came in, you've got a place that you can take notes. And I hope that you will take notes. We have got an amazing thing happening here with the unstoppable gospel of what God is doing. Now, let me bring you up to speed of where we are in the book of Isaiah. You might not realize, but this book of Isaiah is written in 700 BC. So we're looking at a document that's like 2,700 years old. But we saw previously that in Isaiah chapter 53, that there is the suffering servant. It's Jesus Christ in Isaiah 53. It talks about his death. It talks about his burial. It talks about his resurrection. It talks about what that means for us. That's written 700 years before crucifixion was even invented. And we've just been blown away as we've been looking at this going, wow, amazing, it's true. Look at this prophecy of what God is doing. 700 BC, and it's talking about Jesus, his death, his burial, his resurrection. That was Isaiah chapter 53. We're going to look at Isaiah chapter 55 in just a minute. Now, let me get your mind about where we are in the book of Isaiah. The book of Isaiah has 66 chapters. It's divided up into two sections. The first section is chapters 1 through 39. People will say that this is kind of the Old Testament part of Isaiah. Now, Isaiah is completely Old Testament, but it divides up. There's 39 chapters in the Old Testament, and there's 26 in the New Testament. So then we get here to the second part in Isaiah 40 through 66. 1 through 39, the key on that is Isaiah is saying present tense, I want you to repent. You've left God. You need to come back to God. And God will protect you from the Assyrian army. So the Assyrians are marching through. God's going to protect you. But hang on. Trust the Lord. Don't trust in anything else. That's what Isaiah chapter 1 through 39 is about. It's present tense, protection from the Assyrians, being able to come back to know the Lord. Chapters 40 through 66, we're in 55, is a prophetic word. He's declaring that the Babylonians are going to come and they're going to take over Jerusalem and you're going to be taken into Babylonian captivity. Maybe you've heard that before. This is 700 BC that he's talking about, and the Babylonians are actually going to come and they're going to take over Jerusalem in 586 BC. So in a couple hundred years later, it's actually going to happen. The Babylonians are going to come and they're going to take over Jerusalem and they're going to go into captivity. So here's another prophecy that this book is true. And he's going to say all through this is just grace and talking about coming to the Lord. That he's going to say, even when that happens, you're going to think everything's going crazy. Even when that happens, trust in me. It's a timely word for us because even when all the chaos of our world happens, we can trust in him. And we can say, God, you're in control. That's what he's speaking. And Isaiah 55 is where we're going to pick this up. Now, what he's going to talk about here is coming if you're thirsty. Coming if you're thirsty. Are you thirsty? Right now, as I'm saying it, you're getting thirsty, aren't you? Now, I don't want you to leave and then go get a drink of water and come back. Don't do that. Are you thirsty? Many of us are deeply, deeply thirsty. CBS reports that 75% of the American population falls short of the daily 10 cups of water that we need that are prescribed to us. That we are 75% of the United States of America is living in a chronic state of dehydration. So many of us are not just we needed something to drink, we are chronically dehydrated. And we're drinking all sorts of sodas that are actually moving us backwards. It dehydrates us. Coffee and such moving us backwards instead of moving forward and saying we need to get this hydration in our body. 75% of us are chronically dehydrated. 60% of our bodies are composed of water. 75% of our muscles are composed of water. 85% of our brains are composed of water. A doctor puts it like this: water is like an oil to the machine of the body. And many times we're hungry when we're really thirsty, and we're eating when we really should be drinking. One person puts it like this: over time, the failure to drink enough water can contribute to a wide array of medical complications, from fatigue to joint pain to weight gain to headaches to ulcers to high blood pressure and to kidney disease. Are you thirsty? I bet that you are. But I ask a deeper question: are you thirsty of the mouth, or do you realize that you're also thirsty of the soul? That there's something in you that's a parched heart, a parched soul, that you're pleading and thirsting and desiring to be quenched of the heart and the soul, that God would do something in our lives and our hearts and our soul. And we're going to pick it up in Isaiah chapter 55, verse 1 through 7 is what we're going to get today. But we're going to start with verses 1 through 2. And I want you to take your pen out, and I want you to circle in your Bible every time you see the word come, okay? This is an invitation that God is extending to us for the word come, or for us to come. Now, it probably has it on the little denotation of what's coming up in Isaiah 55. Mine says, come to the Lord. Now, that's not inspired scripture. That's just a Bible guy trying to help you know what's coming. So here's what it says. We'll start, and I'll circle it on the screens. Here we go. Isaiah 55, verse 1. Come, circle that. Come, everyone, underline everyone. Come, everyone who is thirsty. Come to the waters, and you without money, come and buy and eat. Come buy wine and milk without cost and money without cost, without money and without cost. Why do you spend your money on what is not food and your wages on what does not satisfy? Listen carefully to me and eat what is good, and you will enjoy the choicest of foods. It says there, come. It's an invitation. Those who are thirsty, I want you to come. The unstoppable gospel is a call to all. The unstoppable gospel is a call to all. I want you to say with me, a call to all. You ready? A call to all. One more time, all campuses. A call to all. The unstoppable gospel is a call to all who are thirsty. Who are thirsty but every human being on planet Earth? We all know that something's broken. We all know that something's wrong. We all know that there's a need in our hearts and our souls. The question is not, is there a need? The question is, what will fill the need? Will we fill it with things of the spirit and of eternity, or will we fill it of the things of the flesh and of the world? What will be the water that will quench our souls? Will it be a lust for fame and power and fortune, or will it be something deeper of the soul that is quenched? It is a call to all who are thirsty, and that's everyone. Even in this passage of Scripture, it says, come everyone in verse 1. Now, this is a Jewish book. It's in the Old Testament. It's written by Isaiah. You don't get any more Jewish than Isaiah. And this prophecy, this prophet, this declaration is saying, guess what? The Gentiles are coming. Those that are not Jewish are coming in Christ. Isaiah 53 is about Jesus coming. Isaiah 55 is an invitation to come. A Gentile is someone that is not Jewish. That's most of us. And he's saying, come, everyone. We'll see it later on in the scriptures, even more so. Come. And what's he inviting us to? He's inviting us to water, he's inviting us to milk, and he's inviting us to wine. Water is the first thing that he's inviting us to. Water is life and refreshment. Water is life and refreshment. You know what it is in Houston on a hot day? There's nothing better than just a cold glass of ice water, is there? It's refreshment, it's life. You can live a good while without food, but you can only live 2 or 3 days without water. Your body needs water. Water is life. And all throughout the scriptures, there's water. Think about Genesis chapter 2, verse 10, the beginning of creation, the Garden of Eden. It says this, and a river went out of Eden to water the garden. And from there it divided and became a source of 4 rivers. That's Genesis chapter 2, the very beginning of the scriptures in creation. Then you move over to Revelation, the end of the Bible, Revelation chapter 22, which is the last chapter of the Bible, and verse 1, and it says this, and then he showed me the river of living water, the river of living water sparkling like a crystal flowing from the throne of God and from the Lamb. So the beginning of Genesis is a river. The end of Revelations is a river. And water right here in the middle of it is life and refreshment. Do you remember Jesus saying this in John chapter 7? Come to me, whoever is thirsty. John chapter 4, that in me, whoever believes in me will have everlasting life and will drink of the living water, and rivers of everlasting life will come through him. So we got a river in the beginning, we got a river in the end, and the only thing that's up for debate is there going to be a river through you in the middle? That's what it's up for debate. Is there going to be the quenching of thirst in Jesus Christ in the living water, or are we going to go for something else? Water is life. Water is refreshment. It's all throughout the scriptures. He says, come, whoever are thirsty, come to the waters. Now think about these people that he's speaking to. They didn't just get water by turning on the tap. They went and like dug a well with a shovel. Now we still got to dig down to an aquifer, but most of us have never done that, right? They are digging. This is hard work. How do they get food? How do they get milk? Well, they raise goats and they have the goats and they milk the goats or cows and raise cattle and do that. They get milk. They get all of these things through hard work. How do they get wine? By growing vineyards and tending the vineyards. This is hard, hard work. And God says, come to me. You don't have to work. It's free. You don't have money. You don't have enough to pay for the cost. Don't worry about it. Come to me and get your water and get your milk and get your wine. Water is refreshment. Water is life. Milk produces growth. Milk produces growth. What does a baby need but its mother's milk? We need milk to grow. Peter tells us that we would have the nourishment, the milk of the word, that we would be nourished by the milk of the word, that we would grow. That's what we need to grow. Now, it always aggravated me all growing up because my mom would always make me have a glass of milk every single night for dinner. Every meal, I always had milk. And I'd say, well, my friends, you know, everybody else gets to drink Cokes at dinner. I would always have milk. And I would drink milk I remember having anything else besides milk. That was about it. But you know what's the truth about it? I've never had a broken bone. And until Kelly started making chocolate meringue pies, I didn't have a cavity, okay? And then that changed. And you know what? Cavities are fun to get. They're really, really fun to get because you get them eating all this good stuff. So asterisk, don't worry about it. But to be able to have strong healthiness, be able to do that, we need milk. We need to grow. It produces growth. Are you growing in your faith? What are your influences? What are you taking in? What are you drinking from? See, growth happens in three ways. There's a head growth that you decide, I'm going to grow. I'm going to walk with God. I'm going to read my Bible. I'm going to be at church. I'm going to grow. I'm going to be intentional about this. There's a head part of it that we decide we're going to do this. Because, you know, anything that we don't decide we're going to do, it isn't going to get done. Life's just too busy. It's got to be an intentionality. So an intentionality to growth with our head. There's an affection of growth in our heart. Lord, we love you. We want our affections to go towards you. We want to have devotional with you. We want to grow in you in our love with you. See, many of us are trying to love things less. Let me tell you how you love things less. Love God more. If you just concentrate on loving God more, you'll end up loving things less. But when you just try to love things less, that doesn't mean you're going to love God more. Love God more with the affection of your heart and grow in the milk of the word and be growing in him. And then it'll go from your head to your heart and then ultimately your hands. There's growth in our obedience when we take steps out of faith. We say, you know what? I'm going to go for it. I'm going to trust God with this area of my life. That growth or that hands, that application brings growth in your life. So there's water. There's milk of growth. And then there's wine. And wine symbolizes throughout the scriptures joy. Symbolizes joy. Joy comes from the blood of Christ. Joy comes from the joy of the Spirit that he comes and he says, I want to give you water. I want to give you milk and I want to give you wine. These are the staples of their diet. And many people feel like, well, if I follow God, then my life won't be any fun. What are you talking about? This is talking about heavenly joy. This is talking about deep stuff in your soul, a river coming through you, a bubbling brook, a crystal stream, a wonderful river of God, as you say, Lord, may you quench my thirst. Lord, may you grow my soul. Lord, may my joy be found complete in you. This is the staples of their diet. This is what they need. When I went to Cuba, They told me, they said in the afternoon, they said, Pastor, we had rice and beans for lunch. We're having something totally different for dinner. We're having beans and rice for dinner. I said, that's awesome. But that was a staple of the diet. It was rice and beans for lunch and beans and rice for dinner. And if you go to third world countries, you'll find that they don't have a whole bunch of choices like what we have. It's a different way. It's a different way. But in this, we see that the soul has the same staples from all of eternity. You and I need the same things. No matter what we do, no matter what generation we're born in, we need refreshment in life, we need growth in our souls, and we need to experience the joy of Christ. And anything else we do, you know what happens? We're eating things that don't satisfy. Cisterns that don't hold water. All of these things that don't make any sense, and that's where we're going for. So I began to think in my mind, how could I illustrate for us something that we would eat that would not satisfy? So I came up with this Greek word, okay? It's an interesting Greek word. You maybe have not heard this Greek word before, but it's the Greek word funyuns is what it is. It's the Greek word of funyuns. Now, funyuns here we have. I was reading the ingredients. There's no onions in Funyuns, I just want you to know. Now, there's onion powder, and there's parentheses, including natural onion flavor, okay? So, not sure what that's, but there's no onions in Funyuns. These Funyuns here, these are also, just so you know, these are an anti-mouthwash breath, you know, cleanser, okay? So, this is the anti-Altoid, is what this is you've got. Now, what are Funyuns? They're just puffed air. Now, here's what we're doing. Many of us, we are dining on Funyuns is what we're dining. We are eating Funyuns. It's stuff that does not satisfy except for the taste. And I like a good Funyun like the rest of us. But to be able to know this doesn't nourish the soul. It's not going to satisfy. This is different than fruit or vegetables or a steak or chicken or whatever it is. This is not protein-based. It's not going to happen. Now, I know some of you are saying, hey, but my Funyuns are better than the normal Funyuns. I understand what you're saying. I mean, life can't satisfy. But my life is actually really satisfying because, see, my Funyuns, I do the flaming hot Funyuns is what I do. My Funyuns are the flaming hot Funyuns. I mean, y'all vacation in Galveston. We vacation in the Virgin Islands. You drive this, I drive that. Your job is this, my job is that. And you got the flaming onion Funyuns is what's happening. And it is satisfying. Oh, this is all I ever needed. I used to be on those kind of Funyuns, and now I have upgraded to flaming onion Funyuns. And now I've got the satisfaction of life. Dining on Funyuns may be fun, but it's not what your soul is craving. Jesus is saying, and God is saying one word, come. Come, and you will dine, and you will be satisfied. Verse 2, why do you spend money on food that, what is not food? That's really not food, is it? And why do you spend your wages on what does not satisfy? Listen carefully to me, and eat what is good, and you will enjoy the richest of foods. I submit to you that God's got something for you that's better than the Funyuns you're eating. He's got something deep of the soul of something he wants to do in you. So lay down your chips and come to Christ and allow him to satisfy your heart and your soul. Even if you got flaming onion Funyuns, it isn't as good as the bread and the wine and the milk and the water of your Creator. Come. That's his invitation. Come. Well, I got to get everything right. No, if you don't have money, you don't have anything, you just come. Let me show you a video from when we were in Africa. We got to be a part of two well dedications with Living Water International, amazing ministry, actually based here in our city in Houston. And they go in and they dig these wells, and we got to be a part of the dedication of them. And I want you to see the joy in these people in Kenya. I want you to see the water that we're providing. We put it at an orphanage that our church is helping to support so that the people could come up the hill and find the water there at the orphanage so that we could share Jesus with the people. This becomes the water source, becomes the center of town, basically. And we wanted it to be near the kids, too, so that the caretakers wouldn't have to travel far. So this is right outside the gate of this orphanage. And I want you to watch the joy of water coming in their lives.
Yeah.
Isn't that awesome to be able to see that and to know that we were a part of that as a church? Yeah, that's awesome. Give the Lord a hand for that. That's awesome. Now you do this today. You go stand out in your yard with your hose today and see how many people come dancing. Right? It's not going to happen. And that doesn't shame us that we've got running water and all that. That's fine. That's good. That's how it should be. That's a good thing. But to be able to see the joy that is coming out, to be able to see the satisfaction that is taking place, to see what God is doing. And so I say, and God says, Jesus says most importantly, come and be a part and allow God to quench the thirst, the parchedness of your soul. Now, as soon as I say that, some of you, with thousands hearing my voice, you say, I know what you're saying. I really kind of even agree with you, but I don't want to come. I don't want to come. Let me give you four reasons why you should come if you're in the I don't want to come category. Number one, it's the right thing to do. In all of creation and all of eternity, it's the right thing to do. You're going to stand before God at some point. It's the right thing to do. Number two, it's what you really want. When you want to talk about what you really want, you really don't want Funyuns. You really want the milk and the water and the wine of the Word. That's what you really want in your soul. Number three, your excuse is not new. 100 years from now, all new people on planet Earth. 100 years previous to us, all different people on planet Earth. Your excuse has been heard since the beginning of time. Well, I think there's hypocrites at the church. We've been hearing that for a long time. Just come be one of the hypocrites. People that need to be saved and walk with God. Your excuse, though it may be heartfelt, and I'm not trying to make fun of it at all, it's not new. It doesn't hinder God. It doesn't scare God. So lay your old excuse down and become a new person in Christ. Number four, what are your other choices? John chapter 6, verse 68 says, for where would I turn, Lord, for only you have the words of eternal life. You've got no other choice. I mean, what are you going to do? I don't want God. I want my job. I think if I work 60 hours a week instead of 40, then I'm really going to have things going on. See, we're choosing all these different things, and we can have a whole lot of stuff and be really blessed as we are, and it's good. But here's the deal. If you think that all of those things are going to take care of your heart, it's not going to take care of your heart. See, the unstoppable gospel is free and it's satisfying. It's free and it's satisfying. God is giving us an invitation to come, be a part of this. Here's what I want you to have. If you don't have the money, you don't have the payment that you can make, come and have wine and milk without money, without cost. It is free. We saw in Isaiah 53. It is without cost. And that means that it is available for everybody on planet Earth. The unstoppable gospel is available for everybody on planet Earth. Now, here's what's not available. Though we will try to do these things, everybody on planet Earth is not going to at some point be middle class. It's not going to happen. For the poor, you will always have with you. Does it mean we don't help the poor? Of course we help the poor. No one helps the poor on planet Earth more than Christians. Show me an atheist food bank in our city. Yes, we help, but it's not open to everybody that they're going to have a car, that they're going to have an education, that they're going to have a house, that they're going to have running water. Those things are not what God is extending. What God is extending, though, to every person on planet Earth is you can have a relationship with me. And I tell you this, what is better than any of the stuff is a relationship, an invitation from God Himself. Because if not, follow this train of thought. If stuff is the goal to give people, then here's what we must say. Suburban America is heaven on earth. And you and I both know marriages are a wreck in suburban America. Families are a wreck. We're stressed out like crazy. We got flat screens in every room, but we don't have water in our heart and our soul. And the goal of the gospel is not to make earth a better place to go to hell from. The goal of the gospel is that you can have a relationship with Jesus Christ that is free, that is satisfying, that is open for all men and women, and that's what we truly need. Not the Funyuns, but the steak of who Jesus is. Look in verse 3 through 7, as we're going to see this expand, and we're also going to ask the question, how do I receive this invitation? How do I receive this gift? that we're talking about. This living water, this joyous wine, this growing milk. How do I receive it? Look in verse 3, and I'm going to tell you a few things about it here. We got another come in verse 3, so let's circle that. That's our fourth or fifth one now in just three verses. Pay attention and come to me. That's God. Listen so that you will live. I will make an everlasting covenant with you. The promises assured to David. So he's saying this is old covenant coming all the way through to the new covenant. Verse 4, since I have made him a witness to the peoples, notice that it's expanding from just the Jewish folks to the peoples, a leader and a commander to the peoples. It's going to get even more clear. Verse 5, so you will summon a nation you do not know. So he's saying this to Jewish people. You're going to summon a nation you do not know and nations that who do not know you will run to you. For the Lord your God, even the Holy One of Israel, has glorified you. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Such a great phrase. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call to him while he is near. Verse 7, last, let the wicked, how do we do this? Let the wicked one abandon his way, so that's actions, and the sinful one his thoughts, that's what we think, our attitudes. Let him return to the Lord so that he may have compassion on him, and to our God he will freely forgive. Isn't that awesome? He will freely forgive. So here's what the unstoppable gospel does. How do you receive it? How do you connect with it? Come, repent, and receive the unstoppable gospel. Come. That's a big word we've been talking about. Okay, so what do I do? I'm coming to Jesus. I'm listening to you, Pastor. Okay, what do I need to do? Repent and receive. Repent, what does that mean? We don't like that word, do we? I mean, it's not really sin. It's just kind of a choice, and you do your thing, and I do my thing. Let me just tell you flat out, whether you think it is or not, there's a holy God. And when we do things, attitudes and actions is what that verse said. May the wicked one abandon his way. May the sinful one abandon his thoughts, attitudes and actions. When we do that against God and it's not what he wants, it's called sin. Now, when I was 16 years old and came to know Christ, I knew something was wrong in my heart. I knew there was a hole. I knew that I was a bit lonely. There was something I needed. But the only way I could measure sin was I wasn't as bad as my other friend. That's not the same as come to God and realize he's holy and blameless and free from accusation. And he wants to make you holy and blameless and free from accusation in Christ. So I come and I realize he is holy. Now, I maybe haven't done all this bad stuff, but you know what? I've sure pondered it in my mind. I've had the attitude. I've had the thoughts, whether they've had the action or not. And so I've got to come and get that washed clean. So what do? I come and I repent. What is repentance? Repentance is basically saying, God, you're right, I'm wrong. You're right, I'm wrong. I have sinned, I've done things wrong, you're right. And I lay that at your cross and I give it to you. I'm sorry, I've sinned against you, God. Repent, second part. And then it says, receive the forgiveness that God freely gives. Now, I place my faith in him, and I receive his forgiveness. I receive his Holy Spirit to live in my heart. I receive his washing clean. So let me as clear as I can say it, because in this group, there are people that you do not have a relationship with Jesus. Now, maybe you are Christian adjective, but you never have come to the place of becoming Christian noun. Of placing your faith in Christ. Well, I'm Baptist. Doesn't matter if you're Baptist or Lutheran or Catholic or Methodist. People don't go to heaven in groups. You go to heaven personally because you have placed your faith in Jesus Christ. So let me say it as clear as I can. And if you're a believer, you should be praying right now. If you aren't sure you're going to heaven, listen with everything you've got. Jesus says in this passage of Scripture, 700 years prior, God's saying, come. So we come, we step closer to Jesus as we've been doing in these moments. Repent, Lord, you're right, I'm wrong. I have sinned and I give it to you. I am sorry for my sin. I place my faith in you and I receive your gift of salvation and grace. And you freely forgive me and now I have the water that cleanses, the milk that grows, and the wine that brings joy. And in just a few moments, I'm going to give you an opportunity to repent and receive Jesus Christ. Repent, Lord, nail it to the cross, all my sin. Receive, I want your resurrection to be my resurrection and you to forgive me of my sins. If you've been eating Funyuns, come to the water that your soul is craving. God says, come, come, come. For all nations, all people, all ages, all groups, every one of us, come and live. And what will happen is you'll begin to drink of the living water and you won't be chronically dehydrated of the soul anymore. You'll have Jesus, your creator, the one who loves you. If you're not 100% sure at every campus, I'm going to ask you to pray with me. About 32 seconds, we're going to pray together. And give you an opportunity to come to the God who loves you, who 700 BC declared he's coming after you in love.
Thank you for listening to the teaching ministry of Houston's First Baptist Church. We invite you to worship with us anytime you're near. We're located at the corner of I-10 West and the 610 Loop. Visit us online at houstonsfirst.org.